This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 398.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and joined along with myself and my co-host, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas season and well into the new year. Good tidings. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it is our last and fourth installment here in our Advent scripture readings. You know, just as a reminder, you know, Advent is the portion of the Christmas season that we lead into Christmas, and generally it goes from the Sunday following Thanksgiving, as it turns out, through the Sunday before Christmas, or in this case on Christmas, because Christmas is Sunday this year. In those cases, there are five readings. I think normally there would be only four. And of course, we've been doing our podcast. We always post on Monday in the week. And so this is the last session we'll have before Christmas arrives, coming soon. And our fourth reading is on hope. You know, we have been patiently and expectantly waiting. We have had talked about peace and these kind of things, but now we have hope. And it's not just a wishful hope, it is an expectant hope. You know something's going to happen, and it's going to happen very soon. And this will be reading scripture from Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16. And as always, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible of 1977 version. And then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." Then he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing of you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy knows enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken." Now, this is admittedly a difficult passage with a wide variety of interpretations. You know, who is this child? Is it a child coming soon? Is it a projection of Jesus? But at any rate, whatever the application might be, the central fact is Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Isaiah here, this passage, verse 14, dude, totally coincides with Luke chapter 2. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God. He is God the Son, one of the three in the Trinity, the Godhead.
It shines through clearly that whatever is being prophesied, it has to do with God being present, being with us. It definitely is a fitting summary of Advent and Christmas. It is fitting of both hope and fulfillment. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, we find this. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ is as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yeah. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to her son. And he called his name Jesus.
And here in Matthew chapter 1, we see that the fulfillment of the prophecy that we mentioned earlier begins.
Now, Matthew reminds us and reinforces that God is with us. Now, you have to ask, wait, the angel said call him Jesus. The scripture said call him Emmanuel. What's going on here? Joseph, although he was troubled, it showed that he was a person of integrity, you know, doing the right thing even when no one's looking. He had faith and obedience. And when it comes to the whole issue of, is it Jesus, is it Emmanuel, why is there a variance there? Well, Jesus is his name, the name that was given to a child. It means Yah saves. Yah is shorthand for Yahweh or Jehovah. God saves. And that's exactly what Jesus is. He is our Savior. And the fact that he's more than just a child that came into the manger, he is indeed the eternal God with us. As a bonus, look up John 1 verses 1 through 5 or so. You will see that he indeed is the Word who was God, the Word who was with God, the Word who created before there was any creation to create. He is not only a person, he is Emmanuel. That is his character, and Jesus is his name. Let's move on to Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So, this alludes both to the sonship of Jesus, his name Jesus, and his lordship over us, Emmanuel. It refers to both his birth and his resurrection. Paul and the prophets preached the same message, to have hope and an obedient heart for the Lord. That the God we worship is the same great God who created the earth as we know it, the universe, actually. It is he has a victorious rule over history, well, the future too, for that matter. The earth is the Lord's, and he is the King of Glory. We can worship God correctly only if we have a pure heart, which is to say that we need to acknowledge his kingship in our lives.
We can worship God rightly only if we have a pure heart, Keith. That's right. But the only way we can have a pure heart is for us to trust Jesus Christ based on his death and resurrection for what he did. He did it for us. He did it to pay for our sin. And because of that, those who repent of their sin and turn to Christ, because Jesus took their sin on him, we get to take his righteousness on us. You see, God isn't seeing our own righteousness. He is seeing the righteousness of Christ.
It's not just a matter of walking the aisle, taking about 10 minutes to say a prayer, and another few minutes to get dunked in the water, and hey, I checked all the boxes and I'm done. I never have to go back to church again. No, that's not how it works. We have to be continually faithful, continually obedient, continually trying our best to live a life like his. It's not just the mere matter of checking those boxes. We need to be faithful like Joseph was faithful, struggling over what do I do with this curveball? My wife is pregnant. It's not me. What do I do? The law says I can get rid of her, even stone her. But he didn't want to do that. We need to have that same loving relationship. We need to understand that being in God's kingdom, there are no unrighteous people there. And that's the story of the good news, why we have good news. Because without Christ, we would die in our sin. It reminds me that some people will say, "The God, my God, he wouldn't judge people." Well, I would say yes and no, but it depends. If by that statement you mean that my God, little g, doesn't judge, well, you're worshiping the wrong God, and you could be rudely awakened someday in a place you don't want to be. If what you mean is, because I'm a believer, my God doesn't judge me, that's true. Because of Jesus, you won't be judged. But it doesn't mean everybody won't be judged. And if you're not a believer, if you're not in his kingdom, then you will face judgment for your sins. Not because you didn't believe. You can believe. But if you don't make him Lord of your life, and it's just a head knowledge, you just sing words from your head, not from your heart, and don't understand the eternal nature, the Emmanuel of Christ, you're not following Christ with a pure heart and with obedience. But we do have good news, a gospel message. When a child came to a manger, and Jesus grew up, experienced everything that we experienced from the time he was in the womb. He knows exactly what an infant in the womb experiences. He knows exactly what a toddler experiences. He knows exactly what a 12-year-old experiences, what an 18-year-old, what a 30-year-old experiences. And because of that, he is relatable. And because he is God himself, only he can pay the price to take away our sins. Keep that in mind as we go into a new year. Christmas coming this weekend and a new year coming next week. There's always hope to look forward to as we anticipate not his birth, but his second coming, where, as our scripture said, God will have vengeance when he returns to clear out the unrighteous and to be the victor for those who believe. So let's look forward to that. And hey, stay tuned. Next week, we're working on having a in the house studio recording with Nathan Caldwell. If it doesn't work out, then probably the next week we will. So hey, expectantly, patiently look forward for that. So we'll see you then. Once again, this has been your host, Keith, saying thanks a lot for listening. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you soon.
Quest for Truth.
Now located at life-truth.com.